to Your Good Health Radio, brought to you by Choose for Health. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and your host, Dr. David Friedman.
Our next guest is the Program Manager for Food Safety Communications at the International Food Information Council. She's a registered dietitian with an array of expertise in communicating the science of food and nutrition. Joining us to discuss the findings of their 10th Annual Food and Health Survey, welcome to the show, Liz Sanders. Here's Dr. David Friedman.
Hello, Liz. Welcome to the show.
Hi, David. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. You know, in this annual food and health survey, interesting, you found the vast majority of people, and we're talking 84%, say they are either trying to maintain or lose weight. Well, that's interesting since 75% of the nation are considered overweight. Obviously, there's a huge failure rate here. The survey lists several reasons why. What, in your opinion, is the biggest barrier, and how can we overcome it?
Well, we often see that lack of willpower and lack of time are the two most commonly cited barriers for Americans when it comes to losing or maintaining their weight. And definitely with lack of time, I mean, we see that in some of our other survey findings that comes up again and again. It's just Americans don't feel like they have enough time to do some health-related behaviors.
Right. And you bring up time, and here's what gets me when you bring up time. There are 1,440 minutes in a day. Why do people think they can't spare a measly 20 of those minutes making a healthy meal, especially when those 20 minutes could potentially extend their life an additional 10 to 20 years?
Well, something really interesting that we saw from the survey this year is we asked, on average, how much time Americans were spending cooking dinner on an average weekday. And we found that about 1 in 5 Americans were spending 15 minutes or less preparing dinner, which is very interesting. And then we found that most Americans fell somewhere in between in that 15 to 45 minute range. But I think that, you know, with our busy, hectic lives, like, we are strapped for time, and we're strapped for time not only to cook dinner, but also to exercise, too.
Right. You know, I think that people have more time than they lead on. In the weekends, you can cook, you have time on a Sunday, and you can make meals and freeze them for the week. I don't know. I just think people panic. There's so much lack of time, but if you, 1,440 minutes, I mean, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah, so, and with cooking, it's one thing, but with exercise, we do find that there are very simple ways that you can incorporate a little bit more physical activity into your day, whether it's, you know, parking a little bit farther away from the grocery store, walking or biking to work, or even just having like a 5-minute dance party with your kids in your living room.
Right.
They're just simple, sort of fun ways to add a little bit more physical activity here and there.
You know, interesting. I saw somebody circling around the parking lot, circling for a front parking space when he could have just parked and walked. And when I watched him, he got out and he was overweight. And it's like he exerted all this energy with his car to try to get a closer spot when he, as you mentioned, just walked there.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, you did mention...
Go ahead.
you were mentioning it. You mentioned to time and willpower. And I read it's 37% of Americans have a lack of willpower. What advice can you give them to help these people stay the course?
Well, I think just to really focus on small, manageable changes and focus on, you know, and not only taking those small changes one little step at a time, but patting yourself on the back and not patting yourself on the back with rewarding yourself with extra food or, you know, skipping an exercise session, but rewarding yourself in a way that's going to keep you on track.
Right. And that could be reward, maybe a trip.
So
if
example,
you lose the weight,
you
go on a trip, or, you know, you've earned
go travel somewhere, get a massage if that's something that you enjoy doing. Just, you know what motivates you and try to tap into that.
That makes sense. You know, I've interviewed so many health experts with differences of opinion on why we're overweight, why we're over-medicated, why we're malnourished. This ranges from too much sugar, animal protein, chemicals, to lack of exercise. I'm curious, what do you list as public enemy number one? I know there's a lot of them, but what would you think is the number one reason that we're such a sick
nation? Americans are overweight, or?
We're just not healthy.
That's a really great question, and I think that, you know, our survey data doesn't really examine a lot of this. And I think that one thing we do see is that over time, some folks are saying that we're exercising a little bit less physical activity. We have a little bit less physical activity than we did in years prior. But we do have more information on our website about all this about a lot of these topics.
Yeah, and you mentioned willpower. I'm a firm believer in partnering up with somebody for motivation, whether that be an exercise or dieting partner. It could be your spouse, neighbor, friend. You have better odds of somebody holding you accountable than trying to succeed solo. What can people do to help create this bond?
That's a really great question, and that's often one of the top motivators we see cited as a way that people have success maintaining or losing weight, is that they exercise with a friend or with a buddy.
Right.
And I also think that one of our questions was, what would you do if you had an extra 4 hours every week? And we find socializing or spending time with friends and family consistently comes up top. So if you can check that off your list, if you can get your socializing done while you exercise, then you're getting, you're killing two birds with one stone, really.
Right. One thing I found interesting in the survey, when asked whether people would rather lose $1,000 than gain 20 pounds, 56% would rather lose the money. So then why don't these other people spend, $300 a year for a gym membership? They use the excuse that they can't eat organic because it costs too much, when it's actually just maybe a dime more than a non-organic apple.
So I'm sorry, what was your exact question?
Yeah, so in other words, if money is if people would rather lose $1,000 than gain 20 pounds, then why don't they take that $1,000 and use it proactively? Take $300 and go do a membership. In other words, a lot of people use, I can't afford a gym membership, but this survey says, hey, you can, and you're willing, but why don't you do it?
Yeah, and I think that's something that's really interesting is actually the breakdown that we see between demographics answering this question. We find that, unsurprisingly, younger individuals are more likely to say that they would gain the weight than lose the money, whereas older consumers who, it might be harder for them to lose the weight, so they said that they'd rather lose the money than gain the weight. So
yeah,
we see an interesting breakdown in terms of the demographics there.
That makes sense. Plus, when I was younger, if I gained 2-3 pounds, yeah, literally in a day or two, it's gone. Now, maybe by next Christmas I'll lose it.
Yeah, definitely. And when you're younger, you might not have as much disposable income, so that $1,000 might mean a lot more to you.
There are some
really
variables there.
Go ahead.
Finish up, because I think we got about another minute.
Oh, I was going to say that something's really interesting that we found is that so a lot of Americans perceive themselves in really good health, but we see that that they might be perceiving that they're in very good health, but they could still have health risks like being overweight or being obese. And I think if these health risks aren't affecting how you feel on an everyday basis, then you might not be as willing to take that extra time or that extra money to invest in preventative care for your health, because they're
right,
not directly affecting you in the here and now. And I think that we really do see that struggle reflected in our data.
Makes sense. As 78% would rather hear information about what to eat versus what not to eat. Where can people turn for the definitive guide to exactly what we should be eating? You have a website?
We do. We have foodinsight.org is our website, and we have lots of informational materials available there. And I think that, our survey data just shows that really what we want to do is give people positive, actionable messages. So focus on the positive to help them stay motivated and stay on the right track to health.
Fantastic.
That is great information. And thank you so much for being on the show. To read all the results of the 2015 Food and Health Survey, Consumer Attitudes Towards Food Safety, Nutrition, and Health, go to foodinsight.org. That's foodinsight.org. You can follow them on Twitter at foodinsight. And for our daily health tweets, you can always follow us at Dr. David Friedman. Stay well, stay tuned. This is Melanie Cole, of course, with Dr. David Friedman. Thanks so much for listening. If you missed any of the great information, you can listen anytime, on demand or on the go, at toyourgoodhealth.com. I'm going to say it again. Stay well and stay tuned.